Lisa in Greystone says, I saw someone doing it at Mass. He went up for communion, took the bread, did the dab, and walked back down the aisle. His family were so embarrassed when he sat down. He was chuffed with himself. livened up the end of Mass for me, to be honest, says Lisa. It'd be good if the priest did it. That would be brilliant. Each generation has their own version of dabbing. Really? Elaine says, for example, when I was a kid, all my friends and I would do rabbit ears in pictures. Pouting is another example these days. Ruins photos, says Elaine. I think you're referring there to duck face. I don't know if that's... Is duck face slightly gone now? People don't do the duck face as much anymore. Jer wants to know, is the dab like the nay-nay? If so, then I'm still confused. I don't know what the nay-nay is. It was in a song, according to Nettie, the nay-nay. Nay-nay? Is it like twerking? No? I don't know. Anyway, luckily we have someone here who's one of the world's greatest experts on the nay-nay and dabbing. That is, of course, Mary Phelan from the Farmer's Journal. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, Sean. Can I just say that pouting is still alive and well across all social media platforms. I can confirm that.
Really? They still do that?
You should ask your listeners if any of the men particularly are on Tinder or Bumble, the dating apps, if they see a lot of girls with duck faces. And as a girl, I see a lot of guys with topless mirror bathroom selfies. On dating apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you qualified that statement. If you had just ended it there, that would have made for a really interesting
The male version of the duck pout is definitely guys with topless bathroom selfies.
God, that's pressure on fellas then, really.
I know, but I would always swipe left because I think that's very vain and I wouldn't be interested in someone that's vain, no matter how nice the torso.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wouldn't, you know, me make good conversation with my left nipple.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what dabbing is?
No, I hadn't heard of it before.
Apparently you do that. I'm doing the gesture on the radio and you can't see it.
I know what you're talking about. I think the peace sign, though, I mean, you're talking about pouting and duck faces and dabbing, but this peace sign is a big thing in pictures.
Okay.
No. Well, that's been lots of...
The peace sign's been on the go for years.
Yeah, it has been, but it's still out there going strong. It hasn't lost its relevance.
And do you know what the nay-nay is?
No, I've never heard of that.
No, somebody text in and tell us what the nay-nay is. We don't know what that is. It's probably something dirty that someone's got me to say. Don't be saying no. If you don't know what it is, you don't know what I've just said. Oh, it's a dance to the song. Okay. Apparently, it's not at all dirty. God, because I've teenage daughters who used to do duck face, but now they don't do duck face anymore. And they would have said...
Are you sure they don't do duck face
anymore?
Yeah,
pretty sure that you don't do duck face anymore.
Okay, that's
no, but
an
then again, you know, but then we're all on Instagram and it's all, and that's kind of slightly a year or two ahead of...
Are you monitoring them on all of their...
I am in me hoop.
If they're on any... I don't know what age they are, but if they're old enough to be on dating apps, I would...
Oh, no, they're not on dating apps.
Okay,
Mother
okay,
God,
okay,
no.
Okay,
Jesus,
okay, okay.
No. No.
Fair enough.
This is Snapchat stories and all that kind of stuff.
There's a lot of duck faces out there, Sean. A lot of them, yeah.
Well, it's over. They have to stop. The nay-nay is a hip-hop dance that involves planting one's feet, swaying with shoulder movements, placing one's hand in the air, one hand down, and incorporating personal creativity. That doesn't mean anything. Okay. There you go. Yeah. There you go. You're a 96-year-old? What?
Nephew.
Can do it. There you go. Does he have a great deal of personal creativity, your 6-year-old nephew? He lives in London, so he's just cool. Anyway, I must say this is probably the oddest introduction to the farming slot.
Well, from one
we've
duck
ever
to
had.
Another, Sean. Duck faces to real ducks, real live ducks.
So yes, bird flu is back.
Yeah,
baby.
It is. It is back. So it is the H5N8 strain of bird flu, which is different to the H5N1 strain, which was around a few years ago. So this is not as serious as the other one, which was kind of the Asian bird flu. Because in that was contracted by humans, and in 60% of those cases, the people died. Whereas there are no known cases of human infections with this particular virus.
Okay.
But the one that is around at the moment is the highly pathogenic version of this flu, as opposed to the low pathogenic one. For the low pathogenic ones, there's little or no clinical signs. Where with this one, in birds such as ducks, it can cause severe disease and can kill up to 100% of the birds infected.
Okay, that's not good news.
No, it's not good news. I guess it is important to stress, you know, because perception is very important, obviously, with all food, and poultry is no exception. So there have been no human infections with this virus. So the risk to humans is considered to be very low. And obviously, it's crucial that we protect our poultry industry in Ireland because I didn't actually realise just how high the figures were, but in terms of what it's worth to the Irish economy, according to 2015 stats, poultry exports reached 320 million in 2015. We processed 80.3 million birds in 2015 as well. This is mainly in Cavan and Monaghan. That's kind of the hub of poultry production in Ireland. 92% of our poultry outputs in Ireland are chicken, 4% are duck, and they're mainly produced by Silver Hill, which is up in Monaghan. It's very well known. And then for eggs, we produce 551 million eggs in Ireland every year. We have 240 egg producers. So it's very important that we protect this industry. And the Department of Agriculture brought in legislation on the 23rd of December requiring all poultry keepers and poultry producers to keep their livestock inside for the next 30 days, and it will be reviewed then to minimise the risk of farmed poultry coming into contact with wild birds, because the one case of bird flu that has been identified in Ireland so far was in County Wexford. So we do have a case confirmed here of Friday of last week.
And but was that in a wild bird, or was it?
It was in a wild bird, and it was actually an average punter who came across this and, got in touch with the relevant authorities, and that's how it was confirmed. So if your listeners, want to perform their civic duty, they should keep an eye out around the country for birds who have a swelling of the head, who have a blue discoloration of their combs, their wattles, their neck, their throat, if they're showing respiratory distress, if they have diarrhea, or if there is a reduced number of eggs being laid or no eggs being laid at all.
Right. So, I mean, that's quite amazing that this one particular person was so observant enough to say there's something odd about that bird. Look good.
I guess, you do have a lot of individuals, maybe it was someone who's quite keen on bird watching, and there's a lot of people who are very interested in this area. But it started in Hungary in late October, and it took until January to reach Ireland. So it started in Hungary, then it went to Poland, then Germany and Croatia. Then there was 100 dead birds found on Lake Constance in early November, so that's kind of near Germany, Switzerland and Austria. Then it went to Sweden, then Holland, and then France. It had reached France by early December, so France kind of really started battening down the hatches then. They were insisting that all poultry producers had nets to avoid, again, contact between the farmed poultry and the wild birds. Poultry shows were cancelled. The release of game birds such as pheasant, that was all kind of not allowed for the time being. And then in the UK, it was identified a case there on the 16th of December. And just the day before that, or maybe 3 days before that, the Department of Agriculture had said that they didn't think that housing birds was necessary. But by the 22nd of December, which is when a case was found in Wales, I guess it was getting too close for comfort. Mm. So the legislation was introduced on the 23rd of December. So hopefully that will help protect the industry.
And I suppose there's not much they can do. They can't prevent it from arriving. All they can do really is really basically try and protect the industry as best they can.
Yeah, exactly.
Really.
So, it's just trying to minimise all contact between, as I said, the wild birds and the ones in the houses. But apparently cases have been found on farms with the birds in the houses as well. So it's not something that you completely prevent. But, yesterday in Germany, they announced that they were culling 22,000 birds. And no matter what industry it is, the whole point of farming is that you're nurturing animals to thrive, and to have to shoot birds or cattle or sheep for whatever reason. The kind of mental and emotional distress that will cause to a farmer. I remember I was in Australia several years ago and I interviewed a farmer who was doing a lot of lobbying about suicide among agricultural communities. And he was telling me about farmers would ring him up with all their problems, and this was on the back of a drought in Australia. So a lot of farmers had gone through a lot of hardship. They'd run out of feed and they had to shoot all their animals simply because they didn't have enough feed to give them. Mm. And a farmer said to him on the phone, you shoot X amount of animals, what's the difference nearly on turning the gun on yourself? So that's extremely grim, but that was one person's experience of having to exterminate as such livestock that you're meant to be nurturing so that they'll thrive. So, you know, it is very, very serious, yeah. But at least it's not the strain that was around several years ago, which does affect humans.
Well, and it's not much fun for the animals.
No, certainly not. Nobody wants to see animals suffer either.
We have had, apparently, a mild winter.
We have had an extremely mild winter, and, you know, farmers, I guess we do give out about the weather, whether it's good weather or bad weather. So obviously for the farmer themselves working in these mild conditions, you know, I see my dad at home, he is 66 years of age, and I might be out for a day with work and I think the weather is horrible, and I think my dad is out working in it every day. But even though the conditions might be better for him, for the animals, this kind of mild weather is really not, I mean, first of all, it's unnatural. I think anybody will agree with that at this time of the year. But you have animals housed at this time of the year, and what happens is you have a thing called the stack effect, which is where all of the warm air will normally rise and then the cool air comes in and replaces that. But because it's not cold at the moment, the air isn't cool, and for all intents and purposes it's like a lot of cattle being in a shed wearing onesies. It's very, very warm.
Sounds so unbearably cute.
Yeah, it's cute. But or think of a classroom in September where it's warm and all the kids are coming in. Think of a long haul flight on an airplane and it's all the same air being recycled. So when the cattle are exhaling, the other cattle, because the air isn't rising, because it's not being replaced as much, they're inhaling the recycled air from the animals around them. So it can lead to things like pneumonia, and young yearling cattle in particular are quite vulnerable.
Could they not let the cattle out on you know, the odd day when...
They could, but grass grows really. Yeah, I mean, the cattle are in the shed. The farmers are usually giving them silage or wrapped bales, unwrapping bales for them every day. And, you know, the convenience of it. And they're really, although there is grass growth at the moment, which is a positive thing thanks to the good weather, there isn't really maybe enough to be justifying letting the cattle out. So calving is about to start now in a few weeks, and you've got farmers cleaning out sheds. Usually this time of the year the cold will kind of help eliminate bugs and everything, and it's just going to contribute to more calf scours and different things. And then mild weather liver fluke is another disease that would concern farmers thanks to this weather. And I was discussing this with our one of our livestock reporters today, and it's actually quite gruesome when he was telling me about it. So fluke is it's caused by an internal parasite, and acute liver fluke is something that's usually around in September, October, November more so, and that's where the parasites actually burrow through the liver. And he said he has seen livers where it's been burrowed through and there's actually very little of the liver left once they're finished with it. And he said it costs the industry millions in terms of livers that have been lost to sell as food because the livers aren't there anymore. And then chronic fluke is the type of fluke that is more this time of the year, and especially if you have this kind of weather. So that's not as bad. It's kind of, it takes longer to develop, and that's where the parasites are laying eggs. So it takes a bit longer to cause trouble. So there's just two examples of why this weather is not necessarily good for the farming community.
They don't. And I suppose it's one of those things, people of a certain age, you'll remember on the telly, there was always adverts for, things for liver fluke and winter scours.
Yes.
Whatever. I actually don't want to know what winter scours are. I can guess.
As far as I know from growing up on a farm, it's diarrhea. It's
right, bad okay.
Diarrhea. Sorry, yeah, sure. That's I hope nobody's is, eating really. Their lunch. I guess it's a bit late for lunch.
And what do you give a cow for bad diarrhea? Do you like throw them a few cow rennies?
No,
and say, chew
I think
on that?
There must be, I think there's an antibiotic or something. I mean, a local veterinary practitioner would be the best person to ask. But rats is another problem. You have increased
number
of rats in this weather. First of all, the mild weather means there's more food, so they're thriving as such. They're not getting killed off by the cold, and I mean, they obviously cause a huge amount of problems. They gnaw through electrical wiring, they spread disease to livestock. There's a particular disease associated with rats and mice. It's Wheels disease, and apparently golfers get it because they kiss the ball on the golf course and then they're picking up urine from the rats, if the rats have done their you know what on the golf course. Rats can spread fleas. And the other thing, I was speaking to a vet this morning, Patrick O'Neill. He's very helpful, and he's actually working in the UK at the moment. But he was telling me that obviously if you've got increased vermin on the farm, you're going to be putting down more rat poison. And he said it's actually incredibly toxic to all mammals, including dogs and young children. So that's from a farm safety point of view, that's not really something that you want to be doing. So it's something that you have to be mindful of as well.
Okay, lot to contend with.
Yes.
We're nearly out of time, Mary, so I can't really go on to ask you detailed questions about your adventures on Tinder.
Another time, Sean. I'm quite happy to talk about my... Bumble is the new one, though.
Bumble?
Yeah, Bumble. That's where the girl can message the guy first.
Okay.
And if he doesn't write back within 24 hours, you lose the match. So it speeds up the whole process, because if you don't write back within a certain time, you've lost the match.
And in Tinder, can either...
Yeah, either message. Can. And what happens is that a lot of people will match, and then the girls will be waiting for a message, and they might never get a message, or the guys are shooting. The alternative is that the guys are shooting out messages to every girl they match with, and they don't get any responses, and then they get a bit disheartened. And so Bumble, I think, is kind of the new and improved version of Tinder.
Okay, so on Bumble, and the thing makes the match for you, and then you get to send a message if you want to.
Yeah, and if you don't, then you lose your opportunity within 24 hours. And then when you message them, they have to message you within 24 hours. So they have to write back.
All right, so there's no game playing there.
I mean, it's a game. They both describe themselves as games. I mean, people say, oh, I'm just going to go home and play Tinder or play Bumble. But yeah, Bumble is trying to get people to get a conversation going and go on a date. I mean, it's expediting the process a little bit.
Can you say, you know, can you send them a message and say, throw an old shirt on there and let's have a look at you and take it from there? I wonder would any of them do that,
like straight away go on a date.
And the fellas who are taking pictures of themselves with no shirt on, like, are there any other salient points of interest that they might include in their profile?
They might say, food is my life.
I've seen
some of them live on avocados, travel. I live to travel. I mean, everybody loves traveling. That's not a unique point of interest, is it?
Not really. No, everyone loves traveling and meeting new people, and they're fun,
and they live for the gym, and they live for their diet and all of this rubbish.
But it's still a bit. So you're off Tinder completely now and just on Bumble.
I'm on both of them, Sean. I'm both on both.
We will, in next month, we're going to launch a new campaign for Mary Phelan. We're going to find her a nice fella with a few acres and a good collection of shirts and who does more than live to travel and food.
If a girl in the Farmer's Journal can't find a man in a few
the world's gone
anyone,
mad.
There's no hope for anyone.
Yeah. Mary, always a pleasure. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
Into us. Mary Phelan there from the Farmer's Journal. She's eligible, boys.